Man's Best Friend by Sean Bibby. Read by the author. Chapter 1. Malcolm pulled the last cigarette from the pack, put it in his mouth, and lit it. He inhaled deeply, letting the smoke penetrate his lungs. He wondered if he should quit smoking again before making a mental note to buy more cigarettes and exhaling. He stared absent-mindedly at the smoke as it gently dissipated. It started to rain again. He watched a raindrop trickle down the window of the bus shelter he was standing in. Suddenly he heard a noise behind him. He turned to see an old lady shuffle into the shelter.
"Hello, Terry,"
she said.
"Got room for a small one?"
Malcolm pretended not to hear. The old lady muttered something incomprehensible and shuffled off into a corner, and no doubt her own small universe. He hated old people. He hated their eating habits, their incessant moaning about the younger generation, and their tendency to leave strange smiles behind. He continued to stare at the rain.
"Artichokes,"
yelled the old lady. Malcolm turned with a start. "Pardon?" he said.
"Artichokes,"
she screamed and started to pull vegetables from an ancient-looking carrier bag.
"Where did I put them? They were here a moment ago."
Malcolm found himself willing the bus to arrive. He checked his watch. It was already 15 minutes late. The last thing he wanted was to be stuck in a bus shelter with a deranged octogenarian with a vegetable fixation. He stared anxiously out of the bus shelter window. The bus was nowhere in sight. He had the horrible feeling that she was about to try and start a conversation.
"Would you like a mint, young man?"
she inquired. Malcolm turned to see her offering him an artichoke. No thank you," he said, but was really thinking, "Ah, let me out of here." The bus finally arrived an hour later. Malcolm let the old lady get on first, just so he could see where she sat, and make sure that he sat as far away from her as possible. He sat at the back and watched her having an animated conversation with a suitcase on the seat opposite. He sighed. He wasn't looking forward to old age. He slept most of the journey home, an interrupted, uneasy sleep that left him feeling more tired than before. On awakening, he discovered that it was only a few minutes from his stop. The mad vegetable lady had gone. The only thing that indicated she had ever been there, and not just a figment of an overtired mind, was a lone artichoke rolling about under the now vacant seat. Getting off the bus, he noticed that it had stopped raining. It was late, afternoon, and beginning to get dark. All he wanted to do was get home and relax. It wasn't far, he thought maybe another 5 minutes and he'd be home. He imagined walking up to his front door, putting the key in the lock and feeling the warmth of the central heating enveloping him and welcoming him back as he opened the door and stepped inside. He shivered. It was definitely getting colder. Pulling his collar up in an attempt to stop the biting wind from reaching his ears, he quickened his pace. Rounding the corner of his road, he noticed a small dog of an unknown breed sitting on the pavement, shivering. Malcolm approached it with caution. He'd had a bad experience with a Jack Russell, although in the pub it had been a pit bull a few years back. He was taking no chances. "Hello, little mate," he said in his best, "I'm scared of a very small and inoffensive-looking dog, but trying hard not to show it" kind of voice. "What are you doing sitting out here?" The dog looked up at him and whimpered in its best, "Please let me come into your home where it's nice and warm, and I promise not to drink out of your toilet" kind of whimper. Not sure whether or not to interpret this as an act of aggression or whether it was just simply something wrong with it, Malcolm carefully edged his way around the dog, being careful not to lose eye contact, and hurriedly walked towards his flat. He was almost at his door when he suddenly had the strangest feeling he was being followed. He stopped abruptly and slowly turned around. Sure enough, a few feet behind him sat the dog. It whimpered again. "You following me?" he said, and realised how stupid a question it had been. The dog wagged its tail half-heartedly. "Go home," he said, and pointed in no direction in particular. The dog looked up at his finger, as if expecting to find a juicy steak hanging off the end of it, and noticing that the finger was in fact steak-free, laid down on the floor and whimpered again. Now Malcolm wasn't as cold-hearted as he made himself out to be. He, as much as anyone else, couldn't resist that thing dogs do with their eyes to make you feel sorry for them. He could feel himself slowly giving in. It started to rain again. He sighed and felt in his pockets for his keys. "Come on then," he said, and opened the door. The dog was on its feet and through the door in seconds, where it bounded into his bathroom and proceeded to drink out of the toilet. Malcolm was never one for going to sleep straight away. In fact, it annoyed him no end when he heard people say that they went out like a light as soon as their heads hit the pillow. Malcolm went out as easily as an agoraphobic hermit, but he did go out eventually. Tonight was taking longer than usual. Insomnia had been a problem for him since his childhood. Trying to think of ways to occupy his time during the long evenings was a particular headache. Time has a tendency not to exist when you're asleep, so it wasn't much of a problem for most people. He just lay there thinking. His thoughts turned to his earlier encounter with the dog. The dog, which at that moment was curled up on his sofa, snoring its head off and adding to his sleep problems. He wondered what would have happened to it if he hadn't have let it in. Where would it have ended up? He wondered what he should do with it. He would worry about it in the morning, he decided, and after several more hours' deliberations, He slowly drifted off to sleep. He woke the next morning still tired. He looked at the clock on his bedside cabinet through half-open eyes. It was 5:30 a.m. As usual, he'd only had about 3 hours sleep. He closed his eyes again and tried to go back to sleep, but it was hopeless. Slowly, he sat up and rubbed his eyes. They were sore. What he needed was coffee and plenty of it. He staggered out of his bedroom, struggling to put his dressing gown on, his attempts being hampered by the fact that it was on inside out and the cord was now on the inside. On his way to the kitchen, he cast a blurred glance into the living room to see if the dog was still asleep on the sofa. After satisfying his quite not fully alert brain that what he had expected to see on his sofa wasn't actually a dog, but a beautiful naked woman, he made his way unsteadily into the kitchen. Suddenly, his brain woke up, and his legs fell asleep. Struggling to his feet, legs still shaking and refusing to believe what he had just seen, Malcolm tried to regain his composure. He clung to the kitchen doorframe for a few minutes until he felt confident enough to let go. He let go and, to his relief, found that he was still standing. He turned in the direction of the living room. He wanted to walk back into the room to reassure himself that what he'd just seen was some sort of hallucination, but for some reason he couldn't. Finally, after what had seemed like 2 ice ages, he began to move. As he got closer to the door, he could hear breathing, but it wasn't the snores of a creature of the canine persuasion. This was the perfect rhythmic breathing of a human being. He tried to tell himself that his brain was playing tricks on him again. It wasn't until he reached the door and poked his head around that he knew that it wasn't. He drew a sharp breath and pulled his head back. His mind began to race and go through all possible scenarios, however implausible, as to how a totally naked woman had come to be asleep on his sofa. No matter how hard he tried to come up with an explanation, he could only settle on one possible reason. He was crazy. He decided to take another look, a longer look this time. After all, this didn't happen to him every day. It didn't happen to him ever. She looked peaceful enough. He couldn't escape the urge to put a blanket over her, though, in case she got cold, so he quietly made his way into the bedroom again to find one. On his return, he had fully expected her to have gone, only to be replaced by the dog once more. But she wasn't. She was still there, and still asleep. He put the blanket over a sleeping form, being careful not to wake her, and went to sit in the armchair opposite. He watched her sleep, not entirely happy that he could only see her head now, but he couldn't uncover her again. She might wake up. And that really wasn't, and he really wasn't up to trying to deal with that at the moment. He just watched as she slept and slowly fell asleep himself. He woke for the second time to the smell of freshly made coffee. Sitting up, he noticed that she was no longer asleep on the sofa. From the direction of the kitchen, he could hear the clinking of cups. He wondered what he should do. "Hello?" he ventured. The clinking stopped. "I don't mean to seem rude," he said, "but would you mind telling me who you are and how you got in here?" From the kitchen he heard the sound of bare feet walking on the linoleum floor, then quieter as they reached the carpeted hallway. She walked in holding 2 cups of steaming coffee. For the first time he could see how attractive she really was. She seemed to be perfect in every way to him. She was no longer naked, though, and was wearing one of Malcolm's shirts, which he guessed she must have taken from the laundry he'd done the day before. "Good morning," she said. "I hope you don't mind me borrowing this." She looked down at the shirt. "Well, no, I don't mind," he said, as she set the coffee down on the table next to him. "Thank you for letting me stay last night," she said, and smiled at him. "I hope it wasn't too much trouble for you." In his mind, Malcolm was trying to remember if he'd gone out the night before, got drunk, and had somehow persuaded her to come back with him. "No, no trouble at all. Did you sleep well?" he said. He was almost certain that it was last night that he'd taken a dog in, not an attractive woman. He decided to let her do the talking just in case. Picked up one of the coffees and sipped it. "Yes, thank you," she said, picked up the other coffee. "You haven't seen a dog around here, have you?" he asked between sips. She looked at him uneasily. "No, sorry, what sort is it?" she replied. I don't know," he said. He could feel that the conversation was going to get awkward, so he tried a different approach. "I'm sorry," he said. "I must have been pretty drunk last night. I can't quite remember your name, or how we got back last night, or for that matter, last night. He took a long sip on his coffee and almost choked as it burnt the back of his throat. She looked almost relieved as she prepared to answer him. "You were very drunk," she said. "I'd locked my keys in my car and you offered to walk me home. But my house keys were in the car as well, so you said I could stay the night as it was a bit late. I'm very grateful." It seemed possible, he thought. "Oh, by the way, my name's Megan, but you can call me Meg." She sat down on the sofa opposite him and crossed her legs. Malcolm sat wondering whether or not to believe her, or to trust his own memory. In the end, she won. "What happened to your clothes?" he asked. There was a slight pause before she answered. "Well, it was raining hard when we were walking back, and we got soaked through," she said. She took a sip from her mug and put it on the floor. "Do you mind if I stay a while my clothes dry?" He thought about this. Had to go out soon. Could he trust her alone in his home? After all, he hardly knew her. But she looked honest enough, and she was doing something very familiar with her eyes that made him feel sorry for her. "Sure, I have to go out in a minute, but you can stay till they're dry, then let yourself out, okay?" He finished his coffee and stood up. "I've got to go take a shower. Will you be okay?" She nodded at him as he walked past. "I'll be fine, thanks," she said. However, when he returned from a shower, he found that she'd already gone. All that remained was shirt, neatly folded on the sofa. "Oh, crap," he said to himself. Must have been something he'd said. He had a deep, dark sense of foreboding about how the rest of the day would turn out. Sighing, he put his jacket on, opened the front door, and walked out. Nose poked itself out from under the sofa, sniffed the air. It was safe again.